In our scripture reading, we're reading the book of Joshua. Today we come to chapter 10, beginning at verse 16. We'll read to the end of the chapter. You'll find it on page 236 in your pew Bibles. Now, this is the kind of passage today that makes many people uncomfortable because it speaks of God's holy war against the wicked, the Canaanites in the promised land. And the Israelites are going to wipe them out. And you'll see here that they won the battle in the previous passage we read. Now the five kings of the southern Canaanites have hidden in a cave. Joshua blocks the cave up while they rout the rest of their enemies, and then they're going to drag those kings out and they're going to be put to death. And then you have city after city. The city falls. God gives victory, and then the people are all put to the sword. And the atheists today, you think of particularly the Richard Dawkins and the Christopher Hitchens with the books they've been writing, much popular attention, they will say this is the problem with Bible believers. They're violent. And people who believe that this is in the Bible, they're extremists, and then they will undifferentiate us from any other kind of extremist. Now, one thing I'm not sure that they understand, it'd be nice if they asked us, is that Christians know how to interpret the Bible. We are not living in the era of redemptive history where the people of God were organized in an earthly military way. Any Christian who reads a passage like this and says, I need to bomb an abortion clinic or take some other violence, is not understanding the scripture. This is not our calling. The New Testament tells us, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. The nation of Israel was of this world. They waged warfare in that way. But Christ says, no, we're to wage spiritual warfare. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, we wage warfare through the word of God. We take captive every thought to bring consciences before the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us not read this kind of thing and think it warrants us taking violent action or sinning in any way against those who were not Christians and who oppose us. And so they're just wrong. They don't understand how we interpret the Old Testament as Christians. Now, there are many Christians today who are very embarrassed by this. I read an article just the other day about the genocidal passages of the Old Testament. And this progressive evangelical, basically adopting the unbelieving strategies of liberalism, says we just can't take it at face value and we have to write this off. We'll find a way to, and what he was saying was this was a fictional account thrust in the Bible. Now how does he justify that? By appeal to Jesus. He says, well, we know that Jesus doesn't support this and that Jesus would never be for the kinds of thing we're reading there. And I want to ask people like that if they have read the New Testament. On the one hand, you have Jesus in John 2 and in the Synoptic Gospels going into the temple and he makes a whip of cords and he violently drives them out. He overturns the tables. Jesus has zeal against evil, but especially the book of Revelation. Revelation 19 says that Jesus will return. Let me just read briefly from Revelation 19. Verse 11, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the Lord God Almighty. Now, the biblical Jesus, together with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, has wrath against evil. And that speaks about the return of Christ. And what we have in Joshua 10 is a local anticipation of what will be on the last day when Christ returns. Now, remember that when Abraham was being told back in Genesis 15 that these events were going to happen, he was told that the timing was going to wait until the sins of the Amorites were full. These nations are receiving the wrath of a holy God on their pagan idolatry and wickedness. And if we say, well, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. Well, God is comfortable with it. And history is going to end with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wrath of a holy God against sin. In fact, when we read this passage, it's crude. The five kings are slain and their bodies are put on a tree. And see, the Christian doesn't say, how could God do that? The Christian says, that's what Jesus Christ endured for me. Jesus was put on the tree. He bore the wrath that I deserve. And far from complaining about the morality of a holy God who's wrathful against the evil of the world, what an evil world it is, God, something would be wrong with God if we did not have wrath for it. The wonder for us is that we don't suffer it because God sent his Son and he was put on the tree in our place. Well, there's also a great scene in here where Joshua gathers the military captains of Israel, and he brings the five kings out, and he has them laid down, and he says, put your feet on the necks of these kings who are going to be slain. And it reminds us, the Bible says, that the saints, the Christians, the church, will judge with Christ on the last day. And I've always loved the line in Romans 16 where Paul says, God will soon crush Satan under your feet. And so we are part of the judgment of Christ against evil, not because we're so great, but because we're redeemed. But it does remind us that while we live, we are to be opposed to evil. Christians are not to be at peace with evil. This pacifistic view, this view of the church that says we just wink and nod at evil going around us is not in accord with the Bible. We are to hate evil now. We fight it through prayer. We fight it by saying, why don't I start living a holy life? Our sermon's going to be about that. Let's be bold about the Word of God. And yes, some Christian activism in our society is not a bad thing either. Let us be irrevocably opposed to evil and grateful to God for the gospel by which we sinners alone are saved. Well, with these things in mind, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Joshua 10, beginning at verse 16. These five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave at Makkedah. And it was told to Joshua, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. But do not stay there yourselves. Pursue your enemies. Attack their rear guard. Do not let them enter their cities, for the Lord your God has given them into your hand. When Joshua and the sons of Israel had finished striking them with a great blow until they were wiped out, and when the remnant that remained of them had entered into the fortified cities, then all the people returned safe to Joshua in the camp at Makkedah. Not a man moved his tongue against any of the people of Israel. And then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings out to me from the cave. And they did so and brought those five kings out to him from the cave. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon. And when they brought those kings out to Joshua, Joshua summoned all the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of the men of war who had gone with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. Then they came near and put their feet on their necks. And Joshua said to them, do not be afraid or dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward Joshua struck them and put them to death, and he hanged them on five trees. And they hung on the trees till evening. But at the time of the going down of the sun, Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had hidden themselves, and they set large stones against the mouth of the cave, which remained to this very day. As for Makkedah, Joshua captured it on that day and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He devoted to destruction every person in it. He left none remaining. And he did to the king of Makkedah just as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua and all Israel with him passed on from Makkedah to Libnah and fought against Libnah. And the Lord gave it also and its king into the hand of Israel. And he struck it with the edge of the sword and every person in it. He left none remaining in it. And he did to its king as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua and all Israel with him passed on from Libnah to Lachish and laid siege to it and fought against it. And the Lord gave Lachish into the hand of Israel, and he captured it on the second day and struck it with the edge of the sword and every person in it as he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, king of Gezer, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua struck him and his people until he left none remaining. Then Joshua and all Israel with him passed on from Lachish to Eglon, and they laid siege to it and fought against it. And they captured it on that day, and they struck it with the edge of the sword, and he devoted every person in it to destruction that day, as he had done to Lachish. Then Joshua and all Israel with him went up from Eglon to Hebron, and they fought against it, and captured it, and struck it with the edge of the sword, and its king and its towns, and every person in it. He left none remaining, as he had done to Eglon, and devoted it to destruction, and every person in it. Then Joshua and all Israel with him turned back to Debir, and fought against it. And he captured it with its king and all its towns, and they struck them with the edge of the sword and devoted to destruction every person in it. He left none remaining. Just as he had done to Hebron and to Libnah and to its king, so he did to Debir and to its king. So Joshua struck the whole land, the hill country and the Negev and the lowland and the slopes and all their kings. He left none remaining, but devoted to destruction all that breathed, just as the Lord God of Israel commanded. And Joshua struck them from Kadesh Barnea as far as Gaza, and all the country of Goshen as far as Gibeon. And Joshua captured all these kings in their land at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, to the camp at Gilgal. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.